This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Monday edition. After a huge Titans win and the college football playoff is set, We are here at Sudden Service Convenience Store out here in Whites Creek off I-24. Just like a couple, like a stone. When you know when they say stone's throw, like I think we are like literally a stone's throw from I-24, or at least a Derek Mason tee shot.
Yeah, tee shot. I can't throw anything on my shoulder.
That's true.
Right.
You got a bum shoulder. That's true. And come by, please. Stop by today until 10 a.m. We've got we've got a donation box here where you can give kids toys or school supplies, also some warm clothing for the homeless as well. So if you're coming by, you get a free cup of coffee, and if you donate something for us, we do appreciate that. Also, giving away $100 from the Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, of course, a $100 gift card. Worst Christmas gift you got as an adult at 1025_MD. We'll pick one of those at the end of the show. We'll read a couple more of those coming up.
Have
here
you
in a
ever
minutes.
Gotten a bad gift? Don't call out names, but have you?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure there's been. I'm a really bad gift getter. Like, I'm a terrible gift getter. Like, I'm not good with surprises. I don't like being surprised. Like, I want to be. I'm the really really lame guy who's like, hey, I want this for Christmas. Get me that.
Yeah,
I want this
don't
one thing.
Surprise me.
Just get me. This is what I need. Because if any, you know, like my wife, like she doesn't need anything.
Exactly.
She wants something, she just goes and buys it.
Yeah.
If I want something, we just go buy it. And so I'm bad at like, oh, I got you this surprise X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I'm terrible.
Like, thanks.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm terrible. And they're not really bad gifts. I'm just terrible. I'm very.
Your response is not.
Yeah, I'm very ungrateful.
Yeah.
I'm an ungrateful SOB is what I am. Preds won 6-4. We'll get back to the Titans win 42-21 over the Raiders in just a few minutes. But the Predators win 6-4 on Saturday evening. And P.K. Subban's return, Daniel Carr and Dante Fabro got things started. They were up 2-0, and then immediately the Devils tie it back up at 2, so a crazy first period. They get another 2-goal lead with Forsberg's 11th midway through the second period. And then, again, Bonino, the Devils come back and make it close, make it a 1-goal game. Then Bonino makes it a 2-goal game. Then Rocco Grimaldi puts it away with about 8 minutes to go in the game. So a 6-goal output where everybody got involved. You had 6 different goal scorers. Yakov Trenin got his first goal of the season after getting called up a couple of games ago. And so a critical 2 points. Again, we will obviously there was a lot of stuff going on with Peter Laviolette and Daniel Carcillo, as well as the gif on the bench on the sideline with him at Philadelphia from years ago that got, you know, he had to issue a statement on Friday. We'll get to that a little bit. Again, my personal take is if the guy who gets punched in the head doesn't really care all that much and he's the quote victim in this situation, I don't think you're allowed to be more offended than the victim. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I thought Peter Laviolette's line about calling it an accident was comical. I don't think it did not look like an accident to me at all.
Didn't.
It looked very intentional,
but
it didn't look like that big of a deal. I know you can't do it today. It's a bad look today. But back then, most everybody kind of laughed about it and joked about it. And if the guy he punched doesn't really care at all, then
he didn't
even flinch.
The guy he punched didn't even flinch.
And today he's telling you, Adam Vingan had this in his story, or Greg Wyshynski, excuse me, in his story on ESPN, was like, listen, I talked to the guy he punched, and he didn't really care. So if you don't care, I don't know. Like, it's hard to get more upset than the guy who was the actual quote-unquote victim in the situation. So
it's kind of weird how this whole thing kind of came about. And
well, hockey's going through a reckoning. Right
now. There are some things that are starting to, you know, bubble up to the surface. But my whole thing is, listen, when you become a professional, There are certain things that you just gotta man up and, you know, just okay. There's going to be certain language that is used by a coach or another player to another player, and you know, if it's not, you know,
if it's not physical abuse,
then or something racial, then you know, it's a part of it, man. It's a bunch of testosterone being thrown around. Things get heated, and you kind of move on. So you gotta have thick skin in this at the pro level. You just have to.
No question. Especially in a game where guys fight.
Exactly.
Like, literally, they are allowed to fight.
Absolutely. But you are there for a reason, and you have a voice too. And if you don't like what the coach is saying, you're able to speak up.
And I do agree with Peter Laviolette's statement about, you know, that there is this thing that's happening in the NHL right now, this reckoning with coaches that are crossing lines. I don't think Peter Laviolette belongs lumped in with those guys.
No.
Is he a fiery guy? Is he a type A personality? Is he all those things? Has he pushed guys? Of course. I just don't think it belongs in the same category as some of the things that other guys are being fired for. I just don't think it's even appropriate to lump him in, especially since one of them has been public for years, and we've seen it for years, and never once has anybody ever thought, oh, that's a major problem there.
Uh-huh.
It's not a good look. You can't go punching a guy in the helmet on a bench anymore. But, you know, this was years ago when he was with the Flyers, and it's just not – again, the guy he hit doesn't care. And if the guy he hit doesn't care – then I don't care. I guess that's just how I see it. More importantly, 2 points against the Devils, and PK Subban wasn't booed. That's more important.
That's great. John and I used to go at it all the time.
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, when I was in Baltimore. He and I would go at it. I would fuss at him about any and everything, and he would fuss back at me. We practiced on a field that I hated. You know, we would always practice on that field either before we played Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh had high grass, or some other, or he just wanted to be, you know.
So you had a different practice field for different
teams?
Yeah,
we had 3 different practice fields.
Wow.
And we would practice on the far field, and it had high grass, and it was slippery, and I hated going on that field, and I would just go off on him, and he would go off.
So you were a diva back then, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
But after that, you know, after practice was over, he and I would walk in the building together talking about our families and, you know, laughing and giggling. So, I mean, you got to have thick skin. You just got to, you know, go out there and, you know, do what you do.
And it doesn't mean that we can't evolve and that the NHL is not evolving and getting smarter and better and wiser about treating people and that behavior has changed over time. But it doesn't mean that in 1985, what was viewed as appropriate – should be taken into account today as like, oh, you should be punished for what you did in 2008 when everyone was doing it. No, what we do is we get better and we move on and we evolve as a collective, in this case, the NHL. And so, again, we can spend a little bit more time on it later on this week.
I wanted to ask you, can you read this team, the Predators? Because, you know, they went through this funk and then they won 2 games against the Blues. And then they lose against the Knights. Then they beat the Hurricanes.
And then
they lose 2 in a row. Then they win. It's just like this team is just.
Yeah.
It seems like they got better on the defensive end.
But they played really well against Tampa in the loss. And they played pretty well against the Golden Knights. I almost said Golden State. just a heartbreaking loss in the timing of that.
That was an overtime
with
loss.
With a handy turnover. I just think, you know. And scoring the way they did, I think the balance scoring is what I like. Now, New Jersey is a bad hockey team. So giving up 4 goals at home to a bad hockey team isn't great. But 2 points is all that matters.
Yeah.
And getting a W is all that matters. And getting the offense back on track is all that matters. And so I think picking up the 2 points is really the most critical of situations. And now, of course, they'll play the San Jose Sharks coming up tomorrow night back on the ice at Bridgestone. Also, Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night Smashville Live. We'll be in Bellevue at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House located at 8016 Highway 100. The show starts at 7 p.m. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. We are out here at Sudden Service Convenience Store in White's Creek right off I-24. 500 Hickory Boulevard is the address. Come by and donate some toys, some school supplies, as well as clothing for the homeless. Warm winter clothing, blankets is what they need. So please come by and help all the people of Nashville out, as well as our Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card giveaway. $100 giveaway. Tweet at us at 1025_MD, at 1025_MD, the worst Christmas gift you've been given as an adult. Lynn, I think, is in the lead After giving birth to the third child,
yes, her
in-laws gave her a thigh master.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just straight disrespect, man.
Yeah.
It's rude. It's mean-spirited.
I wonder what she said to her husband.
I don't think we can say it on the air, probably. I don't think so. So continue to tweet at 1025_MD, the worst Christmas gift. And at the end of the show, we'll pick a winner. We'll be doing that every single day, by the way, this week and next week. So we'll have a bunch of different questions, and we'll have some fun with it this week and next week. And it's a great gift idea. You get a $100 gift card. You can give that away to somebody you love, or just keep it for yourself if you earn it, right? All right. Titans win. 42-21, historical offensive efficiency and expectations. What does it mean moving forward? What does the playoff picture look like? The Titans' huge victory yesterday has people very excited about the final 3 weeks, and they should be. We'll discuss when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 7 to 9:30 a.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from the George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. And you're going to hear from both Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry here momentarily about what they want you to do at Nissan Stadium on Sunday when the Titans play the Texans, because after beating Oakland 42-21 yesterday in one of the most arguably the best offensive performance in the history of this organization, 9.36 yards per play yesterday, it was a Titans record for the entirety of its franchise. It was the highest yards per play total by any team in the NFL at any point in 2019, the first time in franchise history they had a 350-yard passer, a 100-yard rusher, and a 150-yard receiver, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Tannehill. Tannehill's now leading the NFL in yards per attempt and quarterback rating. He's won 6 out of 7 starts. They've won 4 straight against the AFC and 4 straight overall. Derrick Henry has joined all kinds of records. He's now the all-time leading rusher in Titans history from a yards per carry standpoint at 4.71 yards per carry. I don't know where you want me to stop here, Derek, because the accolades just continue to mount up and stack up for this Titans offense.
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry, if you look at his very short career, he is even before this season, he was a 4.3 yards per carry guy. So this is not out of the norm for him to be averaging over 4 yards per carry. I think he's averaging close to 5 yards this season. He's arguably the best runner in the National Football League, even being hampered somewhat with the hamstring. It seemed like he still was effective in that game. Now, granted, they went against, you know, a poor defensive unit, but this is what Derrick Henry has been doing for the most part of the season, is, you know, taking this team and his offense and sort of putting it on his back and allowing them, because of him, to do some things in the pass game that they were not able to do early on. So, you know, kudos to Derrick Henry, because he's running behind his pads, he's playing physical, he's playing with a purpose, he's running with a purpose. And this team only goes as far as Derrick Henry takes him. I think he is the most important person on this team right now. I know Tannehill is playing excellent football, his efficiency levels is off the chart, but he's not that way if Derrick Henry's not running the football the way he's running it. So right now at this point in time, that's why the sort of injury with Derrick Henry is one we need to continue to monitor.
Critical thing to keep an eye on.
Because if he's not 100% going against Houston's defense, then it's going to take away a little bit of what they can do from an offensive standpoint. So, you know, they need to get him as close to 100% as possible this week, because this 3-game stretch is going to make or break this Tennessee Titans' chances of making it to the playoffs.
The 91-yard touchdown for A.J. Brown, the longest in Tennessee Titans history. And again, not if you're counting the Oilers. I know you don't count the Oilers, but technically, technically they're part of the organization, technically as far as the records go. But the longest Titan touchdown reception ever, 91 yards from A.J. Brown. And, of course, Derrick Henry, I mentioned, 4.71 yards per carry now, took over first place, passing Chris Johnson. He has joined Chris Johnson, Earl Campbell, and Eddie George as the only players in franchise history with a 1,200-yard rushing season and 12 touchdowns in the same year. He's just the second player in franchise history to record consecutive seasons of 12 or more rushing touchdowns, joining Earl Campbell. He's now fifth all-time with 3,536 yards rushing. We can keep going. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. And it's really a remarkable situation. And what it leads to is after four straight wins, you're now tied for first place in the division with the Houston Texans. You are tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers, although a half game back in the tiebreaker in conference record for the final wild card. But it means this game, this weekend, coming up against the Houston Texans, is one of the largest games in franchise history. And Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel want you to be there. Show up. This is what they had to say after the game.
We'd love to see as many people that want to come out and support us and make it hard for the Texans while they're operating. I always feel like the effort, again, it's never going to be perfect, but I feel like the effort and the finish from this football team is something that our city and our fans can rally around. And then watch that. You know, if we play harder than the other team in all three phases, you know, you're usually going to end up winning.
It needs to be loud. It needs to be packed. It needs to be filled. You know, we know the beginning of the season, you know, it's kind of rough, you know, trying to find our identity. But, you know, we got this thing rolling, so we need our fans to back us up. You know, it's a big game, division opponent, so we hope everybody's there. We hope it's loud. We want them, you know, to feel everything, you know, from our fans screaming. We just need a lot of support in the big game.
There you go, Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel begging people to come out. Here's the deal. In the past, I understood the offense wasn't fun. Well, that's not the case now. Mm-hmm. You're competing for a division championship. What is your excuse now? The weather's not even supposed to be that bad. Mm-hmm. What is your excuse for not? If you are a Titans fan, what more could you ask for? They've made the switch at quarterback. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. They're winning games 30 points for four straight games. They're doing everything that Titans fans could ask this team to do. They're three games over 500. Derrick Henry is a superstar. What else can you – you're playing the number – you're tied for first place with the Texans, and you're playing each other on Sunday. There's no excuse for that building not to be absolutely packed and crazy.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. But in the event it's not packed, who cares? Seriously. You still got to go out and get the job done because – Your playoff fate depends on, you know, whether you win this game or not. If you lose this game, then the odds of you making the playoffs is very slim. Even if you win the next two games, the odds of you making the playoffs is very slim.
It's still 10-6. It's pretty good.
But then you gotta hope that Pittsburgh lose. And I don't think Pittsburgh's going to lose to Buffalo. I think the game that the Titans fans need to watch out for is the Baltimore game. If Baltimore, they got to hope Baltimore lose one more time. And if they're going into that game, having to win that game, then it's different for the Titans fans. But if Baltimore walks into that game and they've already solidified home field advantage throughout the playoffs, then they're going to sit everybody. And the likelihood of Pittsburgh winning that game goes up tremendously. So do you want the fans to be out there? Of course. You want the fans to be out there and support that team. But if they are not there, then so be it. You can't then, if you lose, say, what a fan. You got to go out there and you just got to play. It's going to be loud. It will be loud.
Yeah, and to me, it's not about the players. Like, I'm with you. Like, the players can't take that stuff into account.
Exactly.
Like, they can't worry about how many seats are filled in the upper deck or whatever. They've got to go out and do their job either way. DYJ, right? Do your job. But I do think there is an ongoing conversation.
Of course.
We're trying to understand. I think even as a city, as more new people move here with preconceived NFL fandoms, right? Like, I grew up a Packers fan, and I moved here before the Titans even came here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there is this ongoing thing that the Titans are working towards as far as endearing themselves, building the relationship with the city, and kind of making this city a Titan city.
Uh-huh.
They're still battling that. And so I think if you're still fighting that sort of, I don't know, image, you know, a game like this, like before you can make excuse, all right, the offense wasn't very fun to watch. All right, well, they were always a 500 team, and they're kind of around But they were playing meaningful games in December, and the Colts game last year was full.
Exactly.
But if you're in the middle of battling that, you can't, there's really nothing else you can ask for from this team right now. They made the switch at quarterback. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. They're winning games. They're throwing deep. I mean, they're throwing 91-yard touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You got a running back who's one of the best running backs in the NFL right now. Your defense has got some questions right now in the secondary. There's some guys that are banged up. But by and large, this team is doing everything you could want it to do, and then some. It's why it's won 7 out of 8. It's why they've won 4 straight. It's an amazing run, and now you're battling for first place in the division. If you win this game at home, you are clear-cut first place in the division heading towards a division title and a home playoff game.
Yeah, you are. You couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, this is what you've worked this whole season for, is to have put yourself in a position the last quarter of the season to make a playoff push. And you're right there. You have it right in your hands. Now, you got to play, Houston, who's a top 10 defense. The New Orleans Saints, they're not a top 10 defense.
Did you see that game yesterday, by the way?
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah, that was a score fest. New Orleans is not a top 10 defense, but, man, their offense is virtually unstoppable. With the weapons that they have and Drew Brees pulling the trigger. But even with all of that, you got to go out there and you have to, this is where you prove that you are a team that is taking the right steps and you are a team that other teams are going to have to, really look out for. In the playoff, if indeed you do make it to the playoffs, because I think if they get in the playoffs, there's not a team that they can't beat other than possibly Baltimore, because Baltimore is just playing unbelievable football right now, but they would still be in that game. But other than that, I don't think there's a team you can't beat in the AFC.
And there's no chance, if you're a Texans fan or a Colts fan, that you can argue you're playing as well, because yesterday the Texans get demolished by the Broncos. They were down 38-3 yesterday. Mm-hmm. How does that happen to the Broncos? And so they, Deshaun Watson pads his fantasy stats or whatever in the second half, and they make it look a little closer. But that was an epic failure by the Texans. The Colts then choke it away to the Buccaneers, and so you've beaten Oakland, who's now 6-7. You've beaten the Colts, who's now 6-7. They're the two teams that are right behind you in the playoffs. Now you've got the Texans 2 out of 3. It's all sitting in front of you, and again, making the switch, the offense clicking the way it is, there's so many reasons that this is sort of an unprecedented situation. I can't remember, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I can't remember any team, again, maybe Baltimore last year, making the switch from Flacco to Lamar Jackson that kickstarted that team. Well, I can't remember a team that looked this different by making one change. Now, I know the offensive line's been much better and healthier. Nate Davis is settling in. Taylor Lewan's settling in. They gave up no sacks yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Derrick Henry's becoming the beast that we all want him to be. He's largely been there. A.J. Brown's developing. I get there's more than Arthur Smith maybe is becoming more confident. There's a lot of reasons, but it starts with Ryan Tannehill. And I can't remember a team that made a switch like this and then went on to win a division championship.
No, you're right.
It's an unprecedented situation.
Well, good thing about this is Titans are going against the 18th ranked rush defense. Again, they are facing another team that is not good in a run. So that's why I believe you need to have a healthy Derrick Henry.
I would not be. I'm assuming he won't practice this week.
Yeah, I'm for what? I wouldn't have him practicing at all. He will be in the training room starting today.
Treatment. Yeah. No question about it. The Tennessee Volunteers and the college football playoff, all the bowl matchups were set, including the matchup we're going to get here in Nashville at the great Music City Bowl. Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council, as well as the Music City Bowl, Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, will join us when we return right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, here at Sudden Service Convenience Store in Whites Creek, right off I-24 on Hickory Boulevard 500. We got the donation box here for toys for kids at our kids, the charity that I work with. Of course, warm clothing, blankets for the homeless, as well as the Pencil Foundation, all school supplies. So come by, donate, get yourself a free cup of coffee, and come hang out with Morning Drive and meet Derek Mason. Although somebody did come ask for my
Somebody
asked for my photo, and I said that's literally never happened. Scott Ramsey joining us here from the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl in the Nashville Sports Council. Scott, obviously a ton of work goes into getting you guys to this point. I know you guys have a ton more work to do. Louisville and Mississippi State coming in. We'll get to that game in just a second. But can you explain to everybody sort of how this process went down yesterday? Because there was a lot of confusion on social media. Can you just try to explain to everybody what took place?
Good morning. You know, the selection and the pick verbiage is pretty antiquated in today's system. And with the emergence of the college football playoff 5 years ago, the process with each conference, and we actually have three conference partners because we have either ACC or Big Ten opposing the SEC. Each conference has a much more collaborative, fluid system to try to really maximize the best matchups in the bowls below the college football playoff in New Year's Six games. So with that kind of being the 30,000-foot view, we've talked a lot about the benefit that Nashville's kind of had out of that system. And if you look at the SEC specific and over the last, this will be our six-year agreement. We've had six different teams, and we've done tremendously well with attendance. We've beaten our peers left and right in ratings. I think our sports destination that we've seen, whether it be SEC basketball, NFL draft, all-star game, bowl game, it has really risen, and I think we're in a great position. So when you look at it from a conference perspective, they're going to try to minimize repeats, minimize teams going back and playing teams in same cities as much as they can, across a five-bowl pool, and that's Houston, Tampa, Jacksonville, Charlotte, and Nashville. And I think in those 30 games, 6 years times five cities, we've only had three repeats, which is pretty phenomenal considering years past you saw a lot of repeats with same places, same teams going same places. So on the other side, which happens concurrently yesterday, we're all waiting on that final top 25, Braden, which dictates more than just the top four. Dictates the Cotton Bowl slot, the Orange Bowl slot, some replacement picks in the Rose Bowl, and then that dictated who was your available pool teams to pick from. And, one of the big things yesterday was who was going to get the Orange Bowl slot. Well, if I felt like Florida, well, if that happened, then the ACC wasn't going to pick in the Citrus Bowl, the Big Ten would. But if it had been the Big Ten, had it been Penn State, let's say, who was one spot below them, then Penn State would have been there and ACC would have lost another team up to the Citrus Bowl that we wouldn't be able to pick. So all that stuff doesn't happen until we see those rankings. So that's why the social media guys and the prognosticators got out there with guesses that really were way premature until we really knew really that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 ranking, which is really hard, And that dictated kind of the process from there. We always felt like we either, given this year and the thinness on the SEC side with only nine teams, we either had Tennessee or Mississippi State, but Tennessee fit in other places. Their last bowl game was here. They fit in Charlotte. They fit in Jacksonville. They fit here. ACC, probably Virginia Tech or Louisville were the two that could fit here either way. Could Virginia Tech fly up to Camping World if Notre Dame slid to the Citrus? So there were a lot of moving parts yesterday that affected both sides of our game. And, unfortunately, it just kind of got ahead. Tennessee being so local and so many fans, I think created a little bit of a anticipation before we actually got through the process.
Now, Scott, how quickly does the tickets go out? Because obviously you don't know. You probably got a good idea which teams will be coming here to Nashville, but you don't really know until everything is sort of kind of done. Like you said, there was stuff leaked out, and, this team's going here, this team going here, but, as far as Mississippi State and Louisville, does those tickets go out immediately once those teams are announced?
Yeah, so Derek, what we do is obviously, the last couple weeks, we kind of really have some either-ors. And really, like I mentioned, the four teams, if we win the ACC, it was going to be Tech, Louisville, Mississippi State, or Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And any of those combinations could work. So when we did our contracts with the conferences 6 years ago, we hold a 7,000 ticket allocation block for each university. We know where they are. They have those, and they're ready immediately to go once they're announced for Nashville to send out to their folks. Our season, I call them season tickets, but our renewals on tickets are, you know, somewhere around 20,000 that we've been selling locally regardless of matchup. So we sell those. The teams have 7,000 each, and then the rest are available. So, you know, certainly the anticipation this next couple days and the 2 days leading in kind of generate a lot of that. And then, you know, I mean, having a local team can spike it pretty quick versus mm-hmm. like we have two teams. They're going to bring a lot of fans, going to stay a lot of days and spend a lot of money here versus come to the game and go home. But sometimes you want to balance that out.
Now, Scott, do you guys know, because obviously when you have two teams, you have both fan bases coming in. But because Nashville is such a destination city and people here who just love sports, do you know by any chance, do you get fans that just come to the game just because, you know, they're not a big fan of either team?
Yeah, we worked hard on that. I call it our season ticket base, similar to, you know, professional teams that have a regular season. But when you just have one game a year, I would say this is our 22nd year, Derek, and I, mm-hmm. you know, we in the last 8 or 10 have really gotten to where we're around that 20,000 mark before we announce the teams, and that's kind of our, you know, our goal, and that typically is going to get us a good track to be, you know, at least 50,000 plus, which is kind of our goal always. We've averaged 57,000 in the last 15 years, which is in the top 7 in the country. So, A, the destination, and B, you know, the local support for the game has continued to grow. And, you know, that's one of our big annual kind of marketing pushes that we do. And, you know, next year we transition fully to the Big Ten. We move up in the order right there with Citrus Outback Us. So we're going to see a whole new set of teams, and hopefully, you know, what the general public anyway would kind of view as a bigger matchup record-wise. And so we hope, you know, kind of continue that growth over the next six-year agreement between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Scott Ramsey joining us here from the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, as well as the National Sports Council. And, Scott, you guys always seem to be doing something different, something new. You've expanded sort of the celebration and the things around your event. Is there anything new for fans to get involved with this year outside of all the extraordinary things you guys already do every single season?
Well, Brayden, I think to that question, I think the main goal for us was about 10 or 15 years ago was how do we make this a really great 3-day, 4-day destination? Because regionally, that would seem to fit the tourism model that people want now. And we've seen that for all of our events. Again, SC basketball, the draft, the All-Star game, the marathon, those kind of things. So one of the things, people just want Broadway. So this last year was tough because of the way the Titans had a home game, but 30th was out. You know, we had a game really close to Christmas, and we didn't really activate Broadway like we typically do. So this year with a game on Monday afternoon, it's a perfect travel window. So Sunday and Monday, we're going to close down 3 blocks of Broadway. We're going to have sponsor activations. We're going to have a chili cook-off with some of the best chefs in the city. Ooh. Right in the middle of Broadway. It's going to be free. We've got a stage on First and Broad. We'll have our Battle of the Band Sunday night. We've got concerts and activations planned on the stage, which will be free. So we're going to kind of turn Music City into Music City, as we typically do, and use the heart of downtown with Broadway as kind of fan activations on Sunday and Monday. And then certainly that leads right into the New Year's Eve event, which has really been a great way to extend the week. The Bowl fans come, some of them stay, some of them go home, and then we turn around some new fans for the Keith Urban Show on New Year's Eve. So I feel like we've got a great 3 or 4 day kind of entertainment, Music City style for Louisville, Mississippi State fans to roll in here and stay a few days with us.
Well, it should be a ton of fun. I'm not sure if I'm eligible to compete for the chili competition, but I feel like I want to try my hand. Although it sounds like the chefs are going to be far superior, Scott, is what it sounds like.
Well, I don't know about that, Brayden, but you know, I'll talk to the selection committee on the chili cook-off side.
All right.
And see what they how they didn't include you.
Well, MusicCityBowl.com, of course, for tickets. Louisville and Mississippi State. Louisville has always been a great participant in this game. Mississippi State as well. Are you going to allow them to bring cowbells into the stadium?
You know, we are not. We lease the stadium, and part of the stadium's safety and policies, procedures through the NFL will not allow that in. We did, you know, 5 years ago or 4 years ago, I guess, when Lamar Jackson led Louisville came in here. Or I'm sorry, 8 years ago when Mississippi State played Wake Forest. But since then, you know, as we know, safety's priority,
right.
And some of the certification processes that the NFL and the Titans are going through at Nissan Stadium, we're unfortunately not going to allow them in the stadium. They're more welcome to bring the city. I hope we hear a lot of them at Battle of Bands night and around town, but unfortunately we're not going to allow them in due to the safety concerns with them at the stadium.
Well, as a casual fan who goes to the game every year, Scott, I'm okay with that. So, no big deal. It's going to be a great event. It always is. Louisville, Mississippi State, the Music City Bowl, of course, coming up on the 30th. Going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Scott. Always a pleasure talking with you. I know yesterday was a crazy day, but you ended up with a great game, and it'll be a great event once again, and Nashville will come out in full force as well as the two fan bases. So we wish you guys the best of luck, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. MusicCityBowl.com for tickets for the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. I went to that Lamar Jackson Louisville game. I think it was against Texas A&M. Man, it was crazy. Louisville fans are going to be down here in full force, and you know Stillman will be unbearable.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's good to have a bowl game here in our city.
Well, it's keep getting that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
And, you know, you want it to become an event, not only that the respective fan bases come, but then, you know, a dad and his son, or a mom and son or daughter, they say, you know what, let's go to the Franklin Mortgage Music City Bowl. Let's go and enjoy the two teams. We're not big fans of either team, but let's just go there for the event and enjoy a good game.
I think I've only missed one, and that's because I was down covering the Ohio State Alabama playoff game in 2014. I think that's like the only one I've missed. I was there when Auburn beat Wisconsin in like 2003, with Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown and Carlos Rogers and Jason Campbell, the year before they went undefeated in 2004. I've been going to this game forever. It's been great, and it keeps moving up the pecking order. You heard Scott there. It's going to be a Big Ten SEC game for the next 6 years after this, so it's going to feature some historical rivals, maybe a Michigan State-Tennessee rivalry coming up.
The ultimate goal is what?
I do.
National championship.
College football playoff game. Yeah. Now, that would require the Titans to spend a little cashish on the stadium.
The Chingway.
Which is also probably in the works and coming down the pike as well. So it's going to be very interesting. I think Tennessee, if Tennessee and all the boosters and the stories about them choosing to go to Jacksonville or pushing or pressing to go to Jacksonville are true, I think they made a mistake. I think they should have come here. I know that that's maybe not as good for the city from a hotel standpoint, but the city doesn't need any help selling hotel rooms.
Not at all.
That, you know, owning the city and owning the day and painting it orange with Louisville, another localish type of team 2.5 hours away, I think it would have been awesome. I think Tennessee made a mistake because I think playing Indiana is just not going to have the same oomph.
Probably not.
Not going to have the same oomph. Now, they will have a 7 p.m. primetime slot all to themselves, Tennessee Volunteers, playing Indiana in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl at 7 o'clock on, I believe, January 2nd. So they'll have the primetime slot all to themselves. But are people going to be fired up nationally to watch your product against Indiana? I don't know. I don't think so.
But, probably not. But
this city would have been painted orange for an entire weekend, and it would have been great. So Tennessee might have made a big mistake there. Either way, the game is still great. Mississippi State, Louisville, going to be a good one. Stick to sports when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, Titans with a huge win. College football playoff is set. Vols are going bowling in Jacksonville. Got the Music City Bowl set. Preds get a win over the weekend. But it's 8:45, and that means it's time to stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
Derek, all right. Derek, quit playing the lottery and read your sponsorship.
Stick
Derek's
to sports
over here filling out his numbers, man.
Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. Single men that are moving here with your wives and you don't have the time to decorate your own place, check out Bonnie and Decorating Den. They will get your office, outdoor spaces, any room in your house. They will get it to looking fabulous. So go check them out. You get a free appointment. Consultation, whatever it is, you get it free.
Consultation sounds so much more serious.
It does.
Than an appointment.
Yeah, appointment.
I
so
like
go check them out.
a good consultation.
So go check them out at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, happening?
Keith? How you guys doing?
Munson.
Hey,
Munson, yeah.
Munson. Come on, man. I'm yeah. This is not the weekend. This is not a Saturday.
My bad.
All right, so we've been talking about worst gifts, and Landon's probably in the lead, and there's also some backlash with kind of a similar story to hers. Now, there was a Peloton, which is a stationary bike company, that released a holiday ad of a woman receiving a treadmill from her husband, pretty much. And this is obviously getting a lot of backlash, and it's a weird commercial. The wife is, like, documenting her whole, you know, series of, you know, her working out, and she got this gift from the husband.
So she wanted it?
Well, she was excited about it in the commercial.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's a commercial.
So did she get a Peloton or a treadmill?
A Peloton.
It's a Peloton. It's a stationary bike.
It's the, yeah, it's the stationary
right, so bike. Where's the treadmill come into this? I'm confused.
Well, I mean, I guess, well, the bikes.
They sell treadmills.
Oh, they do?
Peloton, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so her husband basically got her this stationary bike, and she's all excited in the commercial, and I'm just like, that's not how real life works. But whatever, it got a lot of backlash. They had to pull the ad. Their revenue has dropped since then. Even the actor that played the husband is getting a lot of flack for it
as
well.
That's so ridiculous.
Stop being so damn sensitive.
Peloton is an expensive,
exactly,
nice gift.
Yes. Well, so, okay, so had the wife got it for the man, would there have been any backlash? That's it, probably not. It's like, seriously.
See, my buddy bought one for, like, the two of them to have at their house, and, like, they love it.
Yeah, I don't get this. I mean, people are – stop being so damn offended about stuff. It's just like he's buying his wife a Peloton. She wanted it.
Right, exactly. It would be one thing if, like – you know, I mean, if this person, if they were clearly making fun of this person.
Exactly.
If they were clearly making fun of this person for whatever, how they looked or her appearance or whatever, then it's different. Then I can understand being offended by that and saying, you know, that was inappropriate. You shouldn't have done that. But if this is just two people, like, who are excited about a gift, like, who, again, Peloton's not a cheap gift.
It's
like,
not.
Like, that's a nice gift.
Man, it's a stationary bike with a TV on it. Like,
I would love it if somebody bought me a Peloton.
You can do, like, 50 different places. You can go like, biking in the Alps, man.
Here's the problem. We do need to be a much better physical fit country. That's what we need to be. Yeah. So if you're offended by a commercial, then shame on you, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
What we're saying is we need to be more physically fit, which means you get to live longer.
Or that Peloton's just a really cool product. And
exactly.
It was a nice gift for somebody. Yeah, it seems like people are a little too sensitive.
Hey, somebody want to buy me a Peloton? Go ahead.
No, you're good, dude.
You wouldn't buy me a Peloton?
Nope.
Damn.
You can buy me one. I'm the one who needs it right now.
Oh,
what else
man.
You got, Mark Munson?
Number two.
Okay, so I never, and I know this is Christmas time now, I've never owned a Christmas sweater a day in my life. Never owned one. Yeah, I don't know why. I just, you know, I may change that this year. I may try to buy a Christmas sweater, but I'm not going to.
You mean like a good one or like an ugly one?
Ugly Christmas sweater.
Ugly Christmas sweater?
I want an ugly
Should
one.
We one day wear an ugly Christmas sweater?
Yeah, I've got like three of them. Yeah.
Oh, let's do it.
In fact, I've got one that's not supposed to be an ugly Christmas sweater that I just love that people think is ugly Christmas sweater.
So,
which means it's just bad.
See, now I
that's
would.
Not good.
Yeah, that's not. See, so I would buy one from Walmart because they had adults only Christmas sweaters, but apparently they had to take them down from the website because it was one of their sweaters was a Santa Claus with a mountain of cocaine and lines that with the phrase "Let it snow" on the sweater. So they had to pull it from their website because a lot of people were very frustrated at that.
Okay,
but it says adults
again.
Only though, so. I mean,
that's something, you should be offended about.
So,
but listen, doesn't they, okay, when it goes through, because it has to be okay, right?
Right.
It has to be okay. It has to go through like eight people. Like, okay, that's fine. And even if the first person say, that's cool, then Brain comes in and is like, maybe that's not cool. Okay, it had to go through a bunch of people.
Somebody had to approve it. At a big corporation, I understand. If you are there's a company that called, I think it's called Tipsy Elves, and my brother bought ugly Christmas sweaters for me and my wife, and hers is like, it's got like Santa Claus, like putting presents underneath the packet, underneath the tree, but he's like bending over, so you see like the plumber's thong, like in the back of Santa. So like it's kind of an ugly, risky adult Christmas sweater, but it's not really inappropriate, right? And mine was a snowman with a carrot for a nose and. Maybe a carrot somewhere else, and there was a reindeer next to him just eating all the carrots everywhere, so the snowman was awfully scared about his carrot being eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple of risky adult Christmas sweaters, Marquise. I can let you borrow one.
Yeah, please. I mean, there was a couple ones that, you know, had to do with, you know, some other things that I probably won't say on air. But that was the cleanest one, if you can only imagine what the rest of them were. And it said, let it snow on there.
That's a little too far.
Yeah,
that's a little
Walmart,
too far.
Y'all need to be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah. See, I expect
it's a family store. You got exactly. kids walking around in there.
Absolutely.
You can't have that.
Well, but it was online, though, and it's an adult only. I can understand if it was somewhere else outside of Walmart. Like, somewhere else, it probably would have been okay. But since it's Walmart, you probably don't want to have that. But
yeah, I agree with that. Again, I'd go Tipsy Elves. Go check it out, Marquise. I'll get you one for Christmas, all right?
I appreciate that, man. I'll wear it proudly. I'll probably wear it in July just because you got it.
Number three.
All right, so when I grow up, I'm already an adult, but when I grow up,
I
want to
be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah.
I don't want to grow up. Oh. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Stop it. Let Marquise talk.
Keep going, please.
No, go ahead.
So one day when I get, you know, adult money, I want to buy, like, art. You know what I mean? Like, fancy art that I could just put in my living room, not like old jerseys that I used to wear in 2005. Mm. Like, no, I want some art one day. So there was International Art Basel in Miami that sold a banana duct tape to a wall for $120,000. And this person sold two of these. People bought a banana duct tape to a wall for $120,000. I'm going to go to Kroger and I'm going to buy some fruit and I'm going to paint it on some wall somewhere and then I'm going to sell it because I got to pay rent. Well, why do people just buy?
I saw that story, a banana duct tape to a wall for $120,000. And Derek and I were talking about it before the show. Like, if you have that kind of money, you're just out of things to do at that point. Like, there's just nothing else left for you to do, right? Like, you're just...
That's weird money.
Right, like, you're on another... Yeah, that's Bill Gates stuff.
Yeah, that's like...
Warren Buffett.
That's somebody that, you know, that if they dropped... I don't know how you can drop it, but if they just dropped $1 billion, they'd just keep walking.
Yeah, right. Like, they left it in last night's pants.
Yeah,
Listen, I get it. We go to... Like, I've gone to look at art before. I've been to the Met. I've been to the Frist. I've been to places to go look at art. And I can get into it when it's... Something I can see, and, you know, there's a respect level to the amount of difficulty. There's so much, though, when you walk into an art exhibit and you're like, I think I can do that. And normally you can't, right? Normally you can't do whatever you're looking at. Normally you're looking at something and you're thinking, I can do that, and you can't. I could duct tape a banana to a wall. I'm pretty sure I can do that.
What? I don't get this. I really... And then people are taking pictures of it. Why?
Now, what do they buy when he spends $120,000? Does he get the wall? Do you have to take the duct tape off? What if the banana and the duct tape fall apart? Is it still art?
This had to be for charity.
I hope so.
I hope it was.
See, what's funny about this, and I was talking to a buddy about it, if I were to, like, go on a date with, like, some girl that's very artsy and she took me here, I would have to fake, like, this was the most artistic thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like, this is an exquisite banana. Like,
no, I don't think so. I think Keese, and when you're on a date, you're Marquise, so I think Marquise should... Like, I think because art is all up to the interpretation, right? It's all up to the person looking at it. I think you can say this is stupid.
It has so much passion.
No, it
has
is dumb.
Love.
It is
you
dumb.
Can say it's that now because what you can do is you can find something. Here's the key: when you're on a date in an art thing like that, just find something else that you really like.
Mm.
Like, you can be like, man, I really like that one, or I really have some thoughts about it. She'll be impressed by that. But you can look at a banana duct taped to a wall for $120,000 and say that's stupid.
That's really stupid.
I am giving you the freedom to say that.
This is really stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Can I say that again?
One more time.
This is really stupid.
And that was Stick to Sports. We'll be right back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.